Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
There are some other things that are going on, and our next guest, we have not had a chance to actually have him on the show since, I guess it was the 2020 election, and then Bob and I had a chance to hang out just a little bit a few years ago, if you remember Rock the Red. Of course, there's only one person that I could be talking about, and that is Eric Trump. Welcome to the Bob Rose Show, Eric.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Time flies. You know, we were just talking. Can you imagine, because here, you know, we were having these conversations back in 2020. Who would have thought it would actually, for the country, be a good thing that we didn't get the win in 2020, but we got it this time around?
You know, I was so heartbroken because I just thought we got ripped off, right? I mean, the energy, like, I don't believe that he got 16 million more votes than, you know, Barack Obama in 2012. It just doesn't make any sense. Plus, you know, I was doing events all over the country. I was getting 1,000 people everywhere I showed up, and then I'd be across the street from one of Joe Biden's events, and he'd have, you know, he has 12 people and, you know, 30 empty social distancing circles. I mean, listen, none of it made any sense. But honestly, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to us. I mean, right now, we have the House, we have the Senate. You know, we have a 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court. Obviously, we have the executive branch. And you have a killer cabinet. I mean, you see Pete Hegseth out there. And,
yeah.
You know, he lines up all the military generals. We're not going to have people out of shape anymore. We're not going to, you know, and you go back to the last administration, you had, what, Admiral Rachel Levine, who used to be a guy, who's now a girl, who definitely couldn't do a pull-up. You know, and you're just... It's just the difference. You look at military recruiting in this country, it went from being the worst in the history of our nation to being the best in a period of 3 months. I mean, the whole country turned around. You know, look at what happened with inflation. Look at what happened with energy prices. Look at where our economy is right now. I mean, literally, it's just we did a 180 as a country.
Yes.
You know, instantaneously. And I'm just very proud of my father.
We are. Oh, man. So are we. We love it. You know. I love where our country is going right now. But it has been a tough road for you guys. Now, probably anybody with the last name Trump could have written the book called Under Siege. How did you get to be the lucky one?
Well, listen, I was the guy that was running the company. I was the guy that had zero, you know, constitutional protections, right? And so they came after me, you know, relentlessly. I became the most subpoenaed person in American history. I had 112 subpoenas. I mean, they did everything they could to try and destroy our family. They impeached my father twice. They made up the dirty dossier. They made up, you know, the Russia collusion. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They debanked us. They deplatformed us everywhere. They took away our First Amendment right. They you know, they took us off of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. They, you know, took my father off the ballot in Colorado. Then they took him off the ballot in Maine. They weaponized the FBI. They spied on the campaign. They weaponized the DOJ. They indicted him 91 times in every far left city all across the country. They wanted to see us destroyed. They wanted to see us bankrupt. They wanted to see my father in jail. They probably wanted to see me in jail. They wanted to see our family totally fractured. And I came up with the title Under Siege, and the book just went to number one on Amazon. It's absolutely killing it. And the amazing thing is, because he built the greatest movement in American history, because of your listeners, because of Florida, a state that I live in and that I absolutely, you know, freaking adore, you know, I mean, we created the greatest movement ever, and we beat these people. We beat the mainstream media in this country. We beat the weaponized government. And by the way, we did it in spectacular fashion, you know, winning the popular vote, winning every swing state, winning Miami-Dade, by the way, by 11 points, which hasn't been won in 37 years by a conservative. And so, you know, we were under siege, you know, and by the way, and then they tried to kill him twice,
yes,
right? And then you
literally
saw what they did with Charlie Kirk. The book came out 3 days before Charlie Kirk's assassination. Oh. I mean, I announced that I had written it, and you better believe he would have been the last chapter in this whole thing. I mean, they wanted us off that stage. They wanted our voices gone. They put us under siege.
But how is it that, you know, we're supposed to be the violent ones? And even with the whole weaponization, I mean, was it Chuck Schumer the other day talking about how no one has weaponized the DOJ like Donald Trump? I'm like, where were you the last 4 years?
Yeah. And anytime I hear that, I say, do me a favor. And anytime I hear somebody, my sister said that no one's weaponized the DOJ quite like Donald Trump. I'm like, do me a favor, buy them a copy of Under Siege, buy them a copy of my book, and send it to them instantly. They try to destroy us. I probably spent $400 million, meaning our family, in legal fees to defend ourselves from fake Russia, you know, hoaxes, paid for dossiers by Hillary Clinton. You know, I was the guy that got the call when the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. Sir, you've got 30 agents outside, you know, the Mar-a-Lago gates, and they're demanding that we turn off all our security cameras in the house. You know, they're planting classified folders in my father's office. They wanted to do anything they could to imprison him, to bankrupt him, to take him out. And honestly, the American people didn't buy it. They just didn't buy it. And remember, the Mar-a-Lago raid was on behalf of NARA, which was the National Records. Give me a break. Like, you know, it's a glorified public library. And then a year later, you find out that Joe Biden, you know, obviously orchestrated the raid and approved the raid.
Yeah, but the stuff in his garage is safe because it's sitting there, you know, in a file cabinet next to the Corvette convertible.
Yeah. With his son, who's got the laptop in hell, living in the house, right? And the files are sitting in his convertible Corvette.
We're talking to Eric Trump, of course, Donald Trump's son, and of course, also author of the brand new book, Under Siege. You know, I love the... I say it sarcastically, obviously. I love the hypocrisy of the left, because I remember when something would come up regarding criminal activity of, Joe Biden's honorable son. What would we hear from, you know, the press corps? Oh, you know, he doesn't work here. He doesn't. We're here to represent his dad. We don't know what he's into. It's like, but yet when it coming after anybody whose last name was Trump. A little double standard, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. Listen, I got 112 subpoenas, and I've never gotten so much as a speeding ticket. I mean, I'm a guy that goes to bed at 10 o'clock at night after, you know, saying prayers for my children and tucking them into bed. No drugs, no heavy drinking, nothing, you know, no bad habits, no laptops from hells, no prostitution, as you saw all over his laptop and everything else. You know, and yet I became the most subpoenaed man in American history for never crossing any line, for being one of the most honest people who just wants to run a great company. They came after us absolutely ruthlessly. And the reason they did that was obviously, you know, in an attempt to be able to take down my father. But, you know, could you imagine if I had, you know, gun charges? Could you imagine if I was selling finger paintings to, you know, Chinese nationals or whoever the hell it was, right? Like, you know, and maybe I should get into the finger painting business. It's you know, I've never seen, listen, I'm a business guy. I've never seen that, you know, a bunch of people have so many entities, and yet they have no product that they're selling. Like, I always ask the question, it's like, how many shell entities do you need when you literally don't even have a website, you don't have a company, and everybody knows what they were doing. Everybody knows that they were, you know, peddling influence around the world and, you know, and monetizing that, and yet they got off scot-free. And, you know, I sat in hundreds of depositions, got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of subpoenas, and wasted $400 or $500 million in legal fees defending ourselves from absolute garbage. And that's what the book is about. But the happy ending of this story is, despite how they tried to kill us, we won. And when I say we, I'm talking about all of us. We won. We beat the system. We beat the government. We beat the corrupt media, which became the lobbying arm of the Democratic Party. And honestly, we're seeing transformational change in government right now, and we're saving religion, we're saving our constitution, we're saving freedom of speech, which we definitely didn't have. You know, DEI is dead, energy prices are going down, taxes, the biggest tax cuts in history. You know, it's a beautiful thing to watch our nation prosper, and it was a fight worthwhile.
Well, I'd say, and something, I know it's just a side note, but a compliment for your dad, and then obviously the way that you and your siblings were raised. Despite all the negative and bad, horrible names, the things they like to put on your dad, the things they like to accuse him of, and face it, okay, perfect guy in his life, especially as a young billionaire, no, far from it. But the reality is, I love how, and we talk about this on the show all the time, how your dad and how you guys, despite your upbringing, very wealthy family, in a high class, But you guys can relate to the guy on the street, the blue-collar worker. I mean, watching your dad interact with, whether it's a doorman or a construction worker or whatever, is such a contrast to the arrogance and the visceral anger and the just the attitude of a Joe Biden telling an auto worker, I don't work for you. And yet here's your dad who comes out of the real world, not the world of politics, just comes off as a real guy. And we appreciate that, by the way.
By the way, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have called him and all of us, you know, blue-collar billionaires. I mean, yeah. Listen, he never liked the socialite. I'll just give you like a little tidbit that I probably have never said out loud. Like, you know, he might have had to deal with them in some capacity, but he never liked the socialites. You know who he liked? He liked his construction guys. He liked the tough guys. He liked the people who worked hard. He liked the people who put on long hours, the small business owners, the people who grinded. Like, that's who he is. Mm-hmm. And he also never tried to be fake, right? You see all these candidates. They show up at the Iowa State Fair and, you know, they're wearing a pair of Carhartts that have never been worn before. You know, the tag's still on the ass of the Carhartts. And,
uh-huh.
And Hillary flies in his suit with his red tie on, you know, in his New York helicopter at the Iowa State Fair. He starts giving kids, you know, rides in his helicopter, and people freaking love it. Like, he's not pretending to be somebody he's not,
right.
And people adore that. He's just authentically him. You know, he's totally politically incorrect. He doesn't mm-hmm. give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to risk it all. I mean, I was there when they tried to offer him the apprentice contract for another three seasons. Obviously, I was on the show.
Sure.
You know, I mean, this contract would have been billions, right? And he goes, guys, I'm not, you know, I have something else on my mind, and something else was running in 2016. And he knew he had to run against 16 people who actually knew something about politics. We didn't know anything about politics. I mean, we hardly knew what a delegate was at the time.
Right.
You know, only to then have to run against Hillary Clinton and her war chest and probably until him, the greatest political dynasty of the century. You know, and he didn't give a damn. This was never this was about saving a country that was absolutely being run into the ground by totally incompetent people.
You know, one thing that happened, and I'm glad that you brought up that era, a moment that I will never forget. And when I hear somebody refer to your dad as a racist, and we've had Dr. Ben Carson on a couple of times, I will never forget. And I'm sure you've seen it over and over. The video clip backstage where during that debate, they failed to mentioned Dr. Ben Carson to bring him out in the proper order. Your dad stood there with him. They watched Jeb Bush walk by and say hello and keep going. Your dad stood there with him so that he would not stand there alone feeling awkward. And that little video clip, I'd say that left an impression on me that I will never forget.
Yeah, and then Ben Carson obviously became a great friend of the family and a big part of the cabinet and everything else. But hey, they tried to do that over and over again. I mean, you know, they spent years calling us fascists. They, anti-Semites, right? Yet there's never been a better supporter of Israel, and my sister happens to be Jewish, right?
Like,
I mean, you know, they were saying they're calling us fascists, including the kid who shot Charlie Kirk dressed in black, you know, using a sniper rifle from a rooftop, you know, shooting over college kids who were innocently protesting. You know, yet we somehow are the party of fascists, not the kid dressed in all black.
Right.
Trying to take somebody's life, you know, give me a break, right? You know, that's the problem with the Democrats. They always played identity politics, and you know, it didn't work. It didn't work. I go back to Miami-Dade winning that city by, you know, and that county by 11 points. We want Hispanics. We want African Americans. Every state in the nation packed to the right, like big time. So we won the popular vote. We obviously won all seven swing states, 11 counties in California that had never been won before by a Republican. You know, we won those. Like, you know, and then I get to listen to Kamala, you know, come out, you know, and it yes, it was the closest race in presidential history. There's nothing close about it. Like, it was actually the biggest defeat in presidential history. But no, listen, the identity politics didn't work. And by the way, one of the turning points was actually the mugshot. And I spent a lot of time in Under Siege talking about it. But, you know, like, people didn't like the fact that they took a mugshot, you know, of the most known person, like, you know. You had so many inner city communities who were saying the same thing that they've been doing to us for generations is now being done to this guy. And honestly, that makes me like the guy even more.
I think you're right. And we hear that all the time. Eric Trump, thanks so much for taking some time. The book Under Siege, hey, it's out there, a bestseller. We really hope that our listeners will get out there. Of course, here in North Central Florida, we are Gator country, but we are also Trump country. And we really appreciate you being on the Bob Rose Show today.
It's great to be on, guys.
There you go. There you go. Eric Trump, the new book is Under Siege. Check it out. I think, man, you look at the stats. 91 indictments, gag orders, depositions, subpoenas, mugshots, raids. Well, if you don't think they were under siege, I don't know what you think would be under that title.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.